Salwatura, you already know that gorgeous Waiata. And the reason we're playing it is on the Wednesday, the 29th of October, the 2025 APRA Silver Scrolls will take place at the Isaac Theatre Royal in Ōtautahi, Christchurch. The Silver Scrolls, of course, celebrate New Zealand's best songwriters and composers. It's an incredible feat just to be nominated, but to be a double finalist is even more impressive. And we have a double finalist on the line. Marlon Williams himself is here to speak to us. How you doing, Marlon?
Well, I'm good, thank you. I'm just on a train from Castlemaine in rural Victoria back to Melbourne.
Oh man,
and, I think a very romantic, idyllic time.
That's so beautiful. Is there mountain views where you're at?
Yeah, I just literally just trained past the a gaggle. Gaggle's not the right collective noun. A gaggle of kangaroos.
Okay, I like gaggle of kangaroos. That's a good one.
Troop.
I don't know. Yeah, that man is strong, man. We're meant to have Komi here too, but they're here in spirit. Congratulate you both on your first time being nominated together. But you've actually already won an award together. Last year, you guys won an award for Tidal at the Aotearoa Alternative Awards. What makes that relationship so fruitful and special?
It seems a bit reductive, but it all comes down to a sense of humour, I think. You know, we find the same things funny, and that's sort of the basis of a good creative relationship, I think. And I think, you know, I think we also just have, complementary skills. You know, Tommy's an amazing te reo speaker and writer and composer. I obviously am not in that same zone as they are in that stuff, but I love collaborating and writing songs with people, and so we just the humor and the skill sets, I think, just means we can do some productive work.
Oh man, and I bet a lot of people feel this way, but I wish I was a fly on the wall watching you guys work. What was it like in that space, if you can situate us in that space of you guys riding together? What did it look like? Many cups of tea?
Yeah, lots of cuppers. It's pretty pedestrian, to be honest. Like, we just, there's a few different ways we do it, but, we really just spend a lot of time, like, on our te aka, like, language apps on our phone, just, like, trying to find words that rhyme in Māori for other words. You know, it's just, like, still pretty straightforward, but, I guess that's interesting maybe in and of itself, I guess.
No, 100% is. I love that we are all utilizing te aka. I've been studying for a Te Reo Māori exam, and te aka has been getting thrashed. Shout out to the good people at te aka.
Yeah.
One of the beautiful things too about, I guess, Awatūra in particular, is you've spoken about how it's inspired by E Waka Eke Noa. I was wondering, for Kōrero Reo Māori, where did that idea form? Where was the nascent stage for that song?
I think the phrase Kōrero Māori is, we hear it a lot. It's become a slogan, I guess, in some ways. But I think I just always wanted to play around the idea of the original meaning of the word Māori, being just normal, plainly. So, and there's actually a typo on Spotify. It should be, Māori should be at lowercase, because it's not speak te reo Māori, it's speak plain, speak plainly to me. Oh. And so the whole song plays on this idea of, you go off and travel the world and do all this stuff, but when you come home, speak Māori to me, So it's just playing on that double meaning, really. But it also felt like a good basis for a kappa style anthem.
Oh man.
Yeah.
I'm so glad you brought that up, because I always wondered about the double entendre in the title. Mm. And I loved it so much. And I know poetry has been a big part of your process and your writing. Shout out Leonard Cohen one time.
Yo.
But I wanted to ask, I guess I've been thinking a lot about D'Angelo and the Soulquarians and how they operated, and they would gather all this music together, take it in, and then create from that. And I feel like that's so important for the artistic process. When you were writing this album with Kommy, what kind of stuff were you guys listening to and consuming?
I was listening to a lot of different music from other languages that weren't English. And I think, because I was trying to, sort of writing from a few different perspectives at once. On one hand, I'm not a fluent Te Reo speaker, but I'm writing in Te Reo, so I don't have full access to what I'm writing on some level. There's a bit of ignorance there and some sort of block to get over. I was writing from the perspective of a non-Māori speaker listening to Māori. So for that purpose, I listened to a lot of there's a lot of music. That's the train. We hear the train conductor in the background. I guess what you'd loosely call world music.
Yes. Yeah.
Just to try and find a way to be in a sort of universal headspace, while at the same time knowing that it was going to be so locked into a locale, was an interesting way to do it, I think. And I think it kind of helped to abstract just make it music that's listenable and understandable on a deeper level than just the deal.
So true. Sonically, I guess you draw on so many elements from Kapahaka and other like musical traditions as well. And I guess one of my favorite parts of the Silver Scrolls is that they take your track or your song and they rearrange it, make it into a new song. It might be a different genre completely. Do you have any, I guess, ideas about what you think they might do with your waiata?
Well, it's funny because Delaney Davidson is the musical director for the Scrolls, and obviously he's a close friend and collaborator of mine, but he's been very tight-lipped about it. So I have no idea, really, other than what I might theorize he would do. So yeah, like your guess is as good as mine, actually. He could have, you know, he could take it in many different directions. So yeah, I mean, that's my favorite part of the evening for sure, is just seeing what crazy things people come up with.
Yeah, all I'm saying is a house version of Kōrero Māori would be
a little gospel
version. I love it so much.
Yeah, apart like Delvanius 2.0, that'd be great.
With the like pew pew guns in the background, man. He was ahead of his time, that Delvanius.
Hey.
I did want to ask you about the lyrics specifically. Do you have a favorite line from either of these two Waiata that sticks out to you?
I think I do love that line at the end of the second verse of Kōrero Māori. I haere Māori atu, I hoki Māori mai koe. Like, you went away Māori, you know. You went away Māori and you came back Māori, like, despite all your, you know, playing in Paris and whatever, you know. It's an old, you know, whakapoke. That was one of the joys of making this record, is just drawing on the rich, such a rich bed of whakapoke that we have, you know. In Māori, there's so much pills of wisdom that you can play with and recontextualize and shake up and shed new light on. So that's, you know, and that's what, if I think about the future of writing in Māori for myself, that's something that really will keep pulling me back and back again.
Yeah, that line in particular, I watched the lyric video, I haere Māori atu, I hoki Māori mai. It's just like, it makes you, yeah, as a Māori person, you're like, oh, it's okay, I'll always come back and I'll have that connection there. So I'm so happy you drew that.
Yeah, man.
Oh, beautiful. This is an extra special one because it's in the hometown, Ōtautahi. How proud does that make you to be able to be a double finalist in your hometown? It must be, who are you bringing? You're bringing through your mum, your nana, who's coming through?
Yeah, I'm bringing my wahine and some good buddies. It's gonna be special. It's also the first one I ever went to was in Christchurch in 2009.
Whoa.
Which was the last time I was in Christchurch, and Lawrence Arabia won with Amplified Bed, which I, you know, is an absolute donker of a song. So it's made this for a lot of reasons. Big night.
Oh man, it's so beautiful. I guess the last thing to wrap up is, like, you know, awards are really great and winning them is amazing. But it feels like these songs have already won, especially Kōrero Māori. In my brain, it feels like a neo-standard kapa haka song, like something that Hirini would write or something like that.
Oh.
Is it gratifying to see how many people have picked up on that track in particular and made their own versions and put it on Instagram and tagged you on it? Is that part just such a reward?
Oh, bro. That's it, you know. That's, I really, you know, a big part of me making this record was reconnection with community and trying to find some way of having a, you know, having the ahi kaha in some form, even when I'm not at home. So for me to see, to see Tamariki, you know, like Tamariki getting involved and singing some of these songs, it's just, that's better than gold. You know, that's all I could ever ask for.
Oh, man, beautiful. Well, we're going to listen to Kōrero Māori now. Massive thank you. Massive mihi to you, Marlon Williams. You're a legend.
Me koe hoki. I've always enjoyed talking to you. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Marlon.
Hoppe, ki raro. Hoppe, aia ha ha. Oh, yeah.
Kōrero Māori Marlon Williams, one of Marlon's two songs nominated finalists for this year's APRA Silver Scrolls. What a treat, what a joy to speak to Marlon. He is a lovely human being. And so wraps up this part of the show.